Lord, from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, it's my privilege to introduce our speaker today, Pastor Wu. He is, some of you may have known, or all of you, I hope, we've been without a Mandarin pastor at the church for some years, sometimes, and so there has been this search, and Pastor Wu is here, seeing and working with us to see if this is where God is calling him. And he is the Mandarin pastoral candidate. He spoke last week to both of the Chinese congregations, and amazingly, without interpretation, Mandarin and Cantonese, and he is here today without interpretation. So a very gifted man, trilingual. I don't know if there are more languages you can speak beyond those three. Taiwanese, too. Whoa, throw that in the mix. Amazing. But he is not only talented in linguistics, but also he has a unique experience of a combination of the academic world and the practical pastoral world. So he has served as a pastor, is serving as a pastor currently, and he has lots of experience in the academic world. He has his PhD from Westminster. He has served even as acting academic dean for a while there. When I looked at your resume there, in Singapore Bible College, you've got quite a few years there, and he's taught many courses. So if you have any really hard questions or whatever, go and ask Pastor Wu at some point. See if you can stump him. But it's my pleasure. Actually, there is one thing I want to mention, too. He is very familiar with the church here. Some years ago, in 97 to 2000 around, you were actually ministering and serving here at this church, CCCS. So his wife, Mrs. Wu, is here with us. She's right here sitting next to my beautiful wife, May, too. So make sure you say hi to her. So let's welcome Pastor Wu, the Reverend Dr. Peter Wu. Let's give him a hand. Huh?
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff, for your kind introduction. I have known myself a little bit more through your introduction. And I am so happy to be here today. Two reasons. First, a lot of vivid memory come back, you know, to my mind when I'm standing here. I still remember many faces. Even your faces has turned more, you know, mature and more beautiful. But I still remember. And I still remember that my son, Josh, the big Josh, he's six now. He's going to be married this December, okay? Josh, who was baptized here, you know, and I was sitting over there watching his baptism. Lots of memories. Second, this is a beautiful weekend, right? What weekend? Independent Day weekend. And we are celebrating a we are celebrating about this great country. And in this special opportunity, I can be with you and to share the gospel of the Lord to you. What a privilege. Because of the Independent Day, it makes me to think that this great country, the United States of America, has become many of you as hometown. However, do you know there is another great kingdom which we are in? This is the kingdom of God. And every Sunday, we celebrate this kingdom by observing the Holy Communion. So today, I would like to share with you from a familiar passage we just read about four dimensions of the Holy Communion. I will go straight. And, allow me to ask your forgiveness because I'm in the midst of a New York summer conference. I will preach in the conference this afternoon. So please forgive me if I leave here earlier after, I promise, after my sermon. The familiar passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 29, I think probably we will read this passage maybe at least once a month or even more. And from this passage, I would like to share with you four aspects of the Holy Communion. First, the aspect of looking backward, the aspect of history. We just read that Jesus broke the bread and say, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then, after a while, he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Blood, body, body, blood. All symbolize or indicating the death of Jesus Christ. Of course, the death of Jesus Christ is not only recorded in Gospels, but also has a very deep root in the Old Testament. For example, it is clearly related to an event, the event of Passover, which is recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, which shows us the shows us what was happening in the night of the first Passover. Okay, you know the background. Let me summarize a little bit. God instructs Moses and asks Moses to tell the people of God to prepare for the first Passover. That was to slaughter a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the sides and the tops of the doorframe. And when God saw the blood on the doorframe as a sign, he will pass over this house and no destructive plague would touch this house. So God's grace was shown to the household. This is a very important historical foundation for the Holy Communion. It proclaims one thing, that God's salvation for his people would be through blood. Through blood. The Passover event also indicates that another lamb, God's lamb, Jesus Christ, would shed blood for us. Whenever we eat, we take the bread and drink the cup, we need to understand that the bread and the cup signifies the death of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus died for our sin and gave us salvation. Here the verse said, "In remembrance of me." meaning we shall remember the death of Jesus, of course. But remember is not just keeping things in mind, but more importantly, remember is a constant reminder. As a constant reminder, we need to be constantly reminded of Jesus' death. That's why we celebrate the Holy Communion regularly. Here's every Sunday, some churches, at least every month. We celebrate the Holy Communion regularly because we want to remember as a constant reminder to us that Jesus shed His blood for us. When we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ, we are also celebrating the close relationship between Jesus and us. The Holy Communion reminds us that it is Jesus Christ living within us. He lives in us when we take the bread, symbolizing His body, and drink the cup, symbolizing His blood. Our lives are connected with Jesus' life. In our lives is the life of Jesus Christ. So we say the living body is not me anymore. It's Jesus Christ living within me. The life of Jesus replaces my old me, my old life. My life is renewed. And in the process of renewal, the Holy Communion reminds us again and again and again that our lives are no longer the old me. It's Jesus living within us. This is the historical foundation of the Holy Communion. However, the verse doesn't tell us to stop here. In verse 26, it says again, "For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Until He comes. This is the second aspect of the Holy Communion. The aspect that reminds me the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. So we do this and wait for His second coming. We wait until He comes. Yes, Jesus will come again. And He will bring His salvation to reach another climax when He returns. The Holy Communion needs us to look forward, right? Not only backward, but forward. The return of our Lord will again change our lives. The Scripture has lots of teaching in regards of the return of Jesus Christ, His second coming. Let me give you some statistics. There are 104 occurrences in the Scripture related to Jesus' resurrection. 104. And there are 195 occurrences about Jesus' death. 195. And there are 318 occurrences regarding the return of Jesus Christ. Okay, from this status, we can clearly see the Bible put extra emphasis on Jesus' return. The writer of this letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul, he is closely connected his life with the return of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 5, he said, Paul said he was criticized by some people, but also praised by others. But regardless of criticism or praise, Paul didn't think it's important. And in 1 Corinthians, first chapter and verse 5, gospel said, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. All that time, each will receive their praise from God. Yes, yes. Pray to the Lord that we remember Jesus' return. We remember that day. We wait until He comes and apply that teaching in our daily life. That we can look forward and keep waiting patiently with hope that one day we will see Him face to face. We will celebrate the Holy Communion with Him in heaven. We will praise Him. We will exalt Him. Looking forward. Okay. Now, first, looking backward, we have a very solid, firm historical foundation for the Holy Communion. And then, looking what? Forward. Wait until He comes. Point number three. Straightforward, right? Moving on to verse 27. Will you please follow me? Verses from 27. Verse 27 introduces a third angle besides looking backward and looking forward. In verse 27, it says, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. When we celebrate the Holy Communion, we ask everyone to take a moment and examine himself or herself before they take the bread and the cup. This is an instruction from the Bible. Before we take the bread and the cup, we need to have a self-examination. We have to look inward of ourselves and see if we are guilty of any sin, or if we have offended our Lord or people. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, says something which I love so much. Let me read for you. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a powerful prayer. A powerful prayer. No matter what format we put it, we need to have such a prayer before we partake the Holy Communion. Many times we don't even know of our wrongdoing, right? Including myself. Let's pray to God to shine on us and let us know so we become aware of the offensive way at the very beginning. So many sinful actions are avoided. Many wrong words not spoken. And many wrong behavior not done. This is the amazing grace, actually, of Christian belief. It's not to, you know, not to bundle our hands or our feet, avoid wrongdoing. It's not to seal our mouths, to avoid evil words. Instead, it starts with our hearts. He starts with our hearts. Pray to the Lord that He reveals our true selves inside, and that we may know ourselves through God's eyes, looking inward, looking inward. One more, then I'm finished. The Holy Communion commands us looking backward, looking forward, looking inward. Additionally, there is a fourth dimension. Verse 29. Let's read for you. 29. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. We need to know the historical background to understand this verse. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, this verse gave us some very important information. Paul told the church that your meetings do more harm than good. I believe this won't happen here. Your meeting do more harm than good. Why? In addition to the division of the church, Corinthian church, verse 21 says, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. At the time of Paul, people would get together to enjoy a supper after service. And they celebrate the Holy Communion when they had the supper. The Holy Communion at the time is not like what we do now. What we do now is to take a piece of bread and dip in the cup and partake it as a symbol, right? But at the time, they really had a big piece of bread, a good piece of bread. And the bread is good enough to feed everyone to full. And they enjoy the meal. And this is the background. So at the time, there were both the rich and poor people in the church. The rich looked down upon the poor. So as verse 21 says, they go ahead with their own private suppers. Oh, they bring their own curry chicken. They bring their own good stuff and enjoy themselves. That means some people start the supper early and others late. Why? Because at that time, people, the important people, the high-class people will eat first. Men eat first, then women. Adults will eat first, then children. Rich men will eat first, then the poor. But the Bible said, this is wrong. This is wrong. Therefore, Paul pointed to the Corinthian church that celebration of the Holy Communion should be together, symbolized that everyone was the same in the Lord, everyone equal to each other. Paul also criticized those who brought their own suppers. The Holy Communion is a sharing event. It's a sharing event. So if you bring your own food, fine, but you should share it with others. This is all because the church is one body in the Lord. We are one body. There is no division between rich or poor, early or late, the prominent or the humble. We are all one body of Christ. Therefore, here, verse 21 says, when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private supper. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. This is wrong. So Paul said, we have to exempt ourselves. And we have to recognize the body of the Lord. Without doing that, we will eat and drink judgment on himself. The body of the Lord, on the one hand, symbolizes the broken body of our Lord on the cross. But on the other hand, from the context, the body of the Lord symbolizes the church. In other words, when we partake the Holy Communion, we have to recognize that we are one body. We are one body. So point number four. Not only looking backward, forward, inward, we should look outward. Looking around. Looking after everyone. The one who sits beside you, behind you, or in front of you, are one body. We are one. We are one. As my body, one body. I really love this prayer from St. Francis. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, thy pardon, Lord. Where there is doubt, let there be faith. Oh, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let there be light. Where there is sadness, let there be joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be counseled as to counsel, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. O Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Let's have a heart like that. And ask Lord to make us into instruments of blessing and peace. Okay, allow me to tell you a story about two brothers before I end my sermon. There are two brothers. And they lost their parents in their teenage year. And they didn't have any relatives. So the older brother takes care of his younger brother. He works very hard to, you know, raise the younger one. However, he's so busy, too busy to care of every aspect of his younger brother. Unfortunately, the younger one made bad friends and even joined the street gangs, and the younger one lived a miserable life. So very often at midnight, the police will call the older brother and told him to bail the younger one out of the police station. Miserable life. And one night, the phone rang again. The old brother wake up and, which police station are you? Oh, no. The other side said, we are not police. We are a hospital. Your younger brother was hurt badly, and he was in a critical condition. So hurry up, come and see him. Oh, that is strange. So the older brother just hurry up to the hospital, And when he arrived hospital, he was told that his brother joined a street fight, and his brother's kidneys were badly wounded. For him to live on, one choice, he would need a new kidney transplant. Only one choice. So the old brother said, "Oh, take my kidney. Take my kidney. I'm his brother." So quickly, all necessary medical checkups and all tests were conducted, and it was a match. Good news. It was a match. So both brothers were sent into the operation room. One kidney from the old brother was taken out and transplanted to the other. Praise the Lord. The surgery was successful. It was successful. The younger brother recovered gradually, successfully. However, this is not the case for the older brother. The older brother was infected during the surgery. And it got so complicated, so bad, and at last, he died. So bad, he died. And when the younger brother fully recovered, he learned about everything his brother did for him. And he went to his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, and said, "I will change this time. I will change this time. How can I believe you? You have made such statements many, many times. With no results. How can I believe you?" said the sister-in-law. "Now, even your brother, my dear husband, died for you. How can I believe you this time?" And the young brother's response, "I know I didn't live up to my word in the past many, many times. That is not the same this time. I know my brother died for me. I also know that my brother's kidney is in my body. He is actually living within me. He's living in me. And this time, I have strength and I will change." I pray the Lord that we have the same attitude toward the Holy Communion. That is because Jesus Christ is just like the old brother. He gave his life for us, and he lives in us. Therefore, we will have an eternal hope, and we have been crucified with Christ. And we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Holy Communion is an important event for every brothers and sisters. We partake the bread and we drink the cup every Sunday because we want to be reminded that we have to look backward to memorize, to understand the historical foundation. And we also look forward. We wait until the Lord comes again. And we look inward, examine ourselves before the Lord. Not only that, we look outward. We look around. We look everybody. We look after everybody. Because we are one body. We are one church in the Lord. So that we can follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace. Once again, we gave our lives to you. We dedicate ourselves to you. Thank you for the Holy Bible, for giving us these important verses. So as we celebrate the Holy Communion, we will align our minds and thoughts to you. Therefore, our behavior can conform to your instructions and can be pleasing to you. We pray that you continue to speak to us as we take the bread and drink the cup. Show to us as we remember you, your spirit among us. As we remember you, we look around and see we are one body. And we look inside of ourselves. And we confess to you and ask for your forgiveness. We also look forward because Jesus Christ will return in glory. We wait for the return with hope and joy. And all these are firmly founded on your death for our sin more than 2,000 years ago. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for your amazing grace. May you continue to lead us to walk with you in our daily life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.